My name's Sean Collier. There's Aaron Kleiber.
Hi, friends.
We have returned to the Southside Works Cinema party room.
Not been here in a while.
This is where children gather to throw popcorn at one another.
And eat cake.
Before they see The Nut Job 2. I think that's out. I did not get a screening of The Nut Job 2. Anyway.
I saw that on Skinemax when I was 17.
That's probably, if we go to Pornhub right now. Anyway, hey, look, Deadpool and Nick Fury got together for a romp across Europe, and we're going to tell you all about it, and I'm going to attack your childhood this week on You Can't Handle the Truth. Can't Handle the Truth for Friday, August 18th, 2017. Ooh. I turn into the phone.
You were ready for that one. You were. The phone recording?
You know, when you call and you say, today is Friday.
Nobody
August
calls that anymore.
18th.
But isn't that funny?
That's a reference I have.
Yeah, but it's funny because Jason Clark and I did a Grown Dad Business podcast. You can go listen to that.
Yeah.
And we talked on the phone.
Yeah.
About the phone. Yeah, we did our first podcast on iPhones.
Yeah.
And I was in Canada, and he was in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And then we just talked about how cool it was and how technology has changed with phones. That was the whole podcast.
I remember.
We didn't even get to a real topic.
I remember calling, like.
But that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Calling that information number.
I remember calling, like.
You're like, shoot, what's the date? And you had no idea where to look.
Yeah, because you don't have a calendar.
Yeah.
So you don't know. Or you'd call for the time because you forgot your watch.
Yeah.
Or
The weather. I was like, how hot is it?
I remember calling like an answering machine at the radio station every week to find out what concerts were coming up.
Oh, my gosh.
There was one for the X, and I bet, like, I'm not going to give it away because it's just probably some old lady's phone number now. But I remember the number, and you would call, and it would be like, you've reached 105.9 The X concert line. Friday at Metropole, it's Goo Goo Dolls and Tonic.
I remember that.
Sunday, yeah.
Well, back to movies. This
back
is a movie
to movies.
Podcast. I remember calling, listening to all the listings of movies.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you'd sit there and you'd be like, oh, I want to see, you know, a movie that starts with a W. Shit.
The Boss Baby, rated PG.
Yeah.
Showings at 115. 245 and
575.
Yeah, and if you're there for
I said 575 is the time.
If you were there for Zootopia, you're gonna use up all the minutes on your phone card.
Oh my god, that's funny.
Anyway,
hey, we saw The Hitman's Bodyguard.
And look, I thought this was separate topic, not going to be extra butter, but August is becoming a little bit of a wasteland. As more and more of the summer keeps getting moved up to where you're big, like you'll start having big summer releases in March and April.
Right.
So now August, before Oscar season kicks in,
August
is turning
into February.
Yeah, a little bit
in movie time.
And this week, I didn't know. There's a couple of things where there wasn't a screening here. Wind River. Which I told you last week, is really, really good. That's coming out here this week. But for a screening, I didn't know, you know, I was like, oh, The Hitman's Bodyguard. Okay.
And I told you, too, I barely heard of this movie.
I did not hear a lot about it.
I pay attention to movies, and movies are your job. So
when it popped up, you're all right. Don't worry about it. Do what you got to do. We're not we don't even work here. It's fine.
Yeah.
We're allowed to be in here, I promise. But
yeah.
We're not. You moving
that
table.
We have microphones. We're official.
Is official business. No, it's fine. When this came out on the screening list,
walked in the room.
Yeah, that's what happened.
That's all. Anyway,
yeah.
When you got on the screening list,
and it was The Hitman's, but I had never heard of that movie. I was like,
yeah.
I was like, is this like a Shonda Rhimes drama? Is this like?
And I looked it up too, and I'm like, wow, Ryan Reynolds, Samuel L. Jackson, Gary Oldman.
Yeah,
I was like, okay, wow.
And then I did look at a couple trailers, and I was like, this seems like a Kevin Hart action movie. Like,
yeah, right.
Like, there's going to be some laughs. It's mostly going to kind of skate on the charisma of the performers, and there's going to be nothing to it. That's what I thought.
And you know what? And I said to you, too, I said, well, I said, you know, it's an action movie with Ryan Reynolds and Samuel Jackson. You know, and I said, Ryan Reynolds is pretty likable to me right now because of Deadpool. So I'll probably be okay with it.
Yeah.
Turned out, Samuel Jackson is funnier than Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
I forgot that Samuel Jackson is pretty good.
Yeah. Because he's had some duds to the point where I don't really remember them. Like, he's kind of been doing whatever for a few years. And this was like, oh, Ryan Reynolds has a buddy cop movie, but maybe they're bad guys. I don't know. But then, you know, about half an hour into this, this is one where I was like, wait a minute. This has been funny the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty much.
Now, I want to, I was like, where's Samuel Jackson been? I mean, he was pretty good in Kong Skull Island, but he was kind of a, you know, an archetype character, kind of a meh, whatever. You know, he's been doing a lot of, you know.
Legend of Tarzan was nothing.
Yeah, that was.
I did not see
that hasn't really blown up for him. I mean, I honestly think he should have been nominated for an Oscar for Hateful Eight. That's my opinion.
Yeah, he was great.
He was incredible in that. But I guess before Hateful Eight, he really just showed up every once in a while. You know, he showed up in, you know, Black Dynamite.
And Kingsman.
Yeah. He did a little thing in that.
I forgot he was in RoboCop.
But you know what? There wasn't much I'm looking through, you know. And then Django, sure. Okay, he was great.
But
I guess he's been, I don't know.
Well, it also.
Nothing been blowing it out of the water except Tarantino's, you know.
Yeah, and it also shows that for a lot of people, getting in that Marvel loop kind of like grinds down your output. Because it takes so long to make those.
Yeah, and then you know, I can't imagine the press that Marvel.
Oh,
when those come out, I mean, every single one of those characters on every morning show, every late show.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a week or two of just with Marvel characters.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's and I wonder if, you know, that kind of contract too is. You know, you can't work for these three studios, or you know what I mean.
Well, and just the money. I mean, it's not like you need to work if you're an Avenger.
Nah.
You know.
Nah. You're Nick Fury.
You're gonna do other stuff if you have to. In any case, the point is, we kind of forgot how funny he is.
Yeah, I mean, there is a lot of stuff that, you know, he used to be really, really good in.
Yeah.
But then I guess he got all serious. I mean, of course, you know, you'll say Snakes on a Plane and stuff like that. But I mean, there's stuff. Oh, my gosh. Sorry, I went brain dead for a second.
Hey, that's all right. The point is, it's not... So, the comedy in The Hitman's Bodyguard, should we set it up? We don't describe plots anymore.
Well, you're the writer.
I mean, because do people know? I mean, like, I feel... Yeah, I mean, Ryan Reynolds is a... what does he keep saying? AAA elite squad.
He's a former CIA agent that.
No, he was never. He was private.
Oh, no. They said he was a former CIA agent.
That was Samuel Jackson's guess.
Oh, I didn't know if they ever confirmed
that. So he was private security.
He was a really, really good private security agent.
For top, like.
Who kind of had a fall from grace.
And Samuel L. Jackson is a contract killer who needs to be delivered to The Hague for a Gary Oldman is on trial for war crimes, basically.
Right.
And Samuel L. Jackson is the guy that can put him away.
Right.
But there's a mole in Interpol
snafus.
And it's there's stuff gets in the way. It ends up Ryan Reynolds has to secretly get Samuel L. Jackson from somewhere to The Hague. Which I don't know if there's just a ferry that goes from rural England to Amsterdam, but there could be. Who knows?
Like, I mean, they're all pretty close. That's like driving to Chicago.
Yeah, but is there a ship?
Pittsburgh.
I mean, I know to go to France, but I don't know.
Sure, I guess so. Who knows?
My phone's getting good at this. Okay, Google. How do I get from England to Amsterdam via boat?
Ooh. You think it's going to answer?
From Halfway House PH, take 10 towards Rugby, departing in 3 hours and 29 minutes.
Oh.
Get off at Abbey Street, walk to Rugby, and transfer to Virgin Trains.
Wow.
Yeah, it's...
So you take a boat, and then you get on Virgin Trains.
Yeah, it's... I didn't think it would be that good. Not only is it showing me... Wait, I didn't ask you that.
Red light district in Amsterdam.
I didn't ask you about the red light district.
It said, what's the best? It was like, this is a white male. Of course he will be interested. This is
that
a white male
really funny.
From the United States. Of course he will want to get laid in Amsterdam.
I've been to the red light district. Have you?
No, I haven't.
Have you been to Amsterdam?
No.
I mean, that's like...
For what, Sean?
Oh, no, I did not partake. There are things I partook in Amsterdam.
Sure.
But the services in the red light district are not one of it. It's just really
pretty amazing.
It's really fucking weird to be, like, wasted and high and wandering around the red light district. Like, what the fuck? How is
yeah,
this?
Why?
Why is the?
How are they allowed to do that in a window?
Why are you all in the window? What's going? What's going? Yeah, I'm not going to. There's stories. There's stories I'm not going to share. Anyway, what are we talking
place.
About?
Well,
the point is, I'm wrong. Yeah, you can take a boat from England to Amsterdam.
And it's 3 hours.
I have been corrected.
Yeah.
They got to get to Amsterdam and then The Hague, and it's like a chase movie, buddy cop movie kind
travel
of format.
Movie.
Yeah,
it is kind of like a road trip movie mixed with
yeah.
a assassin movie mixed with
yeah.
a buddy cop movie,
and it's just Samuel L. Jackson and Ryan Reynolds ripping on each other for an hour and a half and
an hour and 58 minutes.
You know what? That works.
You know what?
Absolutely works.
I said about 20-30 minutes into Sean because to whisper to Sean during the movie, this is Lethal Weapon. It was Lethal Weapon, except if you like Lethal Weapon, except Samuel Jackson's the crazy one.
Yeah. Has Sean seen it? No. I'll bump that up the list.
Just want to let you know that Sean has not seen Lethal Weapon. Now, I understand some of you are like, what's I haven't seen it either, blah, blah, blah. Well, it really helped propel the buddy cop genre, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. I know. I haven't seen it,
throughout the late
that.
80s and 90s, for sure.
Yeah.
And it was one of the really good buddy cop movies. But, yeah, I mean, this is, you know, they're funny, man.
They're really funny.
It's funny also to see Ryan Reynolds change gears where he's funny,
mm-hmm.
and then Samuel Jackson is funnier than him, and then he plays the straight-faced man.
Yeah, he really does play it pretty straight.
Yeah. And it was good.
And this has to be said, because we've complained before about cases where it goes to the serious action sequence, but because it's a comedy director, they don't really know what they're doing.
Right.
And then the action sequence is just kind of like, oh, whatever. Right. And that can certainly really bring things down.
Right.
Well, the action here is fine. It's not great.
The action's pretty good. But,
yeah.
I mean, as Sean said, one of the biggest weaknesses,
mm-hmm.
really crush action.
What's that?
You said the biggest weakness in the film. I was going to let you say it.
Oh, the cinematography?
The cinematography.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to know how to shoot it. And
The weird thing about this, the direction is fine. You still have his name. What's this fella's name? It's the director of Expendables 3.
Yeah, Patrick Hughes.
Patrick Hughes, who did Expendables 3 and not a lot else. That's one
right.
of three credits. And the framing and the literal direction is fine. The cinematography is bad. The sound mixing is bad to the point where I leaned over to you early and said, this is the loudest this theater has ever been.
Yeah, it was weird.
Just some of the, like, around the edges stuff, down
yes.
to, like, lighting and costuming is just not that good. It's
right.
just not really at the standard you'd expect.
That's
the
interesting script you say those couple things.
Right.
Yeah.
The script
is
fine.
Things.
And the stuff that you really looked at, the directing's fine, the writing's fine.
And the acting and script,
and,
like you said,
yeah.
are really good.
Yeah, it's just weird because it seems a little amateurish.
Yeah.
It seems a little sci-fi.
And of
sci-fi
course,
the
there's
channel.
You know, there's like a love story intertwined with
yeah, there's
an action
a couple.
Movie. But you know what? One of the love stories was actually pretty enjoyable. Samuel Jackson's love story is very enjoyable.
Well, that's not
and
a spoiler.
Ryan,
she's billed. I mean, his wife Salma Hayek is being held in jail. And he has to cooperate to get her out. And she just has a bunch of scenes of her ranting at
and it's pretty
at,
damn
at
funny.
Prison guards. And it's and
she's
really
funny.
Like,
and it's
she
almost
nails
and
it, it.
And I say too, she kind of matches Samuel Jackson's character, which makes it even funnier. It's
mm-hmm.
almost like she's doing an impression of a Spanish Samuel Jackson.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That is kind of what it was.
She's good, man.
And
really
Ryan,
funny scenes.
Ryan Reynolds has his as well. Elodie Young is her name. You might know her from Daredevil and Defenders, I guess. Which
oh,
is
yeah, as Elektra. And I was going to say about that love story, it's not, you know, you see those action movies, a lot of those love stories, there's some 10, 15-minute scene mm-hmm. in the middle of the second act, and you're like, mm-hmm. come on.
Yeah.
That was kind of quick, man. It was two, three sentences every 30 minutes, and
they,
it was like,
they hit
boom.
It, and then they get back to the action. And, I mean, all of the action sequences are fine. That one in Amsterdam, the boat chase in
Holy
Amsterdam,
hell.
Is actually really
I
good.
I mean, that's like James Bond quality.
Yeah.
Except for the
bad
cinematography.
So,
I mean, you're shooting in Europe. You're shooting in Amsterdam.
Right.
I mean, you got to have some better shots other than just, you know, some helicopter shot that you ruin with a CGI helicopter shaking the screen like you're playing a video game.
Right. Yeah. You know? No, that
they did that three times, by the way, I counted.
Yeah, that
I
did.
I hate that CGI helicopter thing they do now.
Oh,
you ever see that?
Yeah.
They have a shot of the city
mm-hmm.
and then a helicopter comes in from frame and it's like and it shakes the screen.
There
like
was
if you're there.
There
it's
was
so dumb.
There was some bad like your buddy's college thesis project CGI, you know, where it's just like
spots.
A flaming tire flies across and you're like,
and it was like
this looks like Tomorrow Never Dies.
Yeah, it was like a Call of Duty commercial.
Yeah. There's some moments that don't work. But
you won't notice. I don't
know. You won't. You're not really going to be paying enough attention.
We're assholes like that.
Yeah. Yeah. We're being picky. We're talking about sound design, which, you know, is the part of the Oscars where
you
go pee. So
speaking of sound, I will say a really, really colorful soundtrack. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah, it wasn't
perfectly.
It wasn't Baby Driver or Guardians. It wasn't one of those like look at this soundtrack, but they made it work. What did you tell me that your earliest memory is Foreigners? I Want to Know What Love Is.
Yeah, man, it's so funny when every time that song comes on,
yeah.
It's the earliest memory I've ever had.
Is what?
And it's triggered by that song. My mom has a huge record collection. I own all of it now.
Yeah.
But when my mom was a single mom, when mm-hmm. I was a baby, she lived upstairs of my grandmother's house.
Yeah.
And my earliest memory mm-hmm. is sitting on the floor in that living room.
Mm-hmm.
And hearing that song, and the record player is right in front of me, and my mom's running back and forth in her slip getting ready for work.
Huh.
And I asked my mom, I was like, that's my earliest memory. And she was like, oh, you were easily 1.5, 2 years old.
Huh.
She's like, we moved out when you were 2.5.
How about that?
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
And that song, as soon as I started hearing that song in high school, boom, that memory came back. And I explained the room to my mom, how it looks. I can picture it now.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, oh, my gosh, that was it.
Hmm.
Isn't that cool?
How about that?
Not
a very good song. But
no. Oh, it's a great song.
I want to know what. No, it's not.
I want to know. Oh, it's a great power ballad. Sean doesn't like anything older. We'll talk about that later.
I like,
you son of a bitch.
You look, if
you
want to talk about.
You don't get away with this just because you like The Shining.
You want to talk about 80s ballads. I will say that Every Rose Has Its Thorn easily has
no.
I want to know what love is.
Not even a chance. Better than Foreigner.
And maybe even like Mama, I'm Coming Home by Ozzy Osbourne. That's a touch better than I Want to Know What Love Is.
I'll put them together. I'll put them on the same line. But they're not. No, come on. They're not better than Every Rose Has a Thorn.
We'll talk about power ballads another day. I already mentioned it again, but if Wind River is coming out here this weekend, I guess it's coming out everywhere this weekend. Written and directed by Taylor Sheridan, mm-hmm. who did the screenplay for Sicario and Hell or High Water. So two of my favorite recent screenplays, and this guy really is doing a good job telling like honest contemporary American stories, right? Like how people are actually living. And Wind River is this great, a body is found on an Indian reservation. Elizabeth Olsen is this junior FBI agent who gets called in just because she's in the neighborhood and gets
and
stuck with it.
And how good has she gotten ever since?
Oh, yeah.
I think ever since we saw her in, did we say like Godzilla? Like we were like, wow, she's, wow, pretty good.
Yeah, definitely.
Taylor Sheridan, he's a pretty well-known actor, too.
Yeah, was he a Sons of Anarchy guy?
He was a huge Sons of Anarchy guy, yeah.
Yeah. This, I think, is this might be my favorite of those three movies.
Really? Wow.
Because cool. I really like Jeremy Renner a lot. Hey, that's interesting. Both things I'll be reviewing this week have two Avengers in them.
Yeah.
Because that would be Hawkeye and Scarlet Witch. And at first I was like, that's such a weird coincidence. And then I was like, oh no, there's 77 Avengers. This is
yeah,
just,
I know.
This is just going to keep happening.
Infinity War is just going to be a room of, like a hangar of people.
Yeah. They're going to gather in a full movie theater.
I'm sorry, if all of you can't get together and beat Thanos, you suck.
Yeah, there's a whole lot
you
of them.
Have so many powers.
Did you see the leaked trailer?
No.
Oh yeah, I've seen it. I mean, it's like a guy cowering in his seat, holding his phone like on his chest, and so it's like this like half-assed angle. And Marvel was scrubbing them, like everyone that posted. Here's the leaked Infinity Wars trailer, but it's pretty fantastic. And it spoilers. Just plug your ears for a second. Like,
I don't want to be spoiled.
For the trailer? You don't want to be spoiled for the trailer.
Oh, I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, no, the first thing you see, plug your ears if you care, is like Iron Man meeting the Guardians. So they're going right there.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah.
This can't be real. I'm like, oh, Infinity War leak trailer. I'm like, this can't be real. No, it's not real. I hate when they do that, when they put stuff together that's like from other movies.
Yeah.
And you're like, leaked trailer. I'm like, you son of a bitch. You got your 100,000 just hits and you got paid.
Trolling for clicks. Anyway, Wind River is great. So here's...
I didn't see anything new other than something really old that everyone has seen. While I was away, I was performing in... Sarasota, a great comedy club, McCurdy's in Sarasota this past week. And, you know, I usually pick a new show or a couple new movies I want to catch up on when I'm away.
Yeah.
And, you know, not a lot of shows I needed to catch up on. I finished Ozark, which was incredible.
That's what
I've been hearing. Jason Bateman's really good. Mm-hmm. Very well written. It's basically the fourth season of Breaking Bad. It's the darkest season of Breaking Bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just all terrifying.
Okay.
Drug-related all right. drama. But... I started Game of Thrones again.
How about that? I'm not going there. Like, no, I know it's great. I know I would love it. I just don't need. I don't need another. You know, obsession.
I mean, you have banners, like Gryffindor banners, hanging in your house.
Hufflepuff. Thank you.
Oh, what am I?
You're a Gryffindor.
I'm a Gryffindor.
Yeah,
that's why it was in my head. Right. I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
I took the test. They made me.
Yeah.
Put a gun to my head.
Yeah.
But. I mean, I watched this 7 or 8 episodes once, and I was like, I don't give a shit about anybody on the show.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't care about the blonde girl. Like, it was, I guess, you know, it was just, I didn't like it. I wasn't into the medieval crap. And then I watched the first season again, and I paid attention.
Yeah.
Because usually I watch it with my Bluetooth headphones and my laptop in my face.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to. So I was like, okay, I get it now. And I'm like, all right, cool. And, you know, I just finished season 2.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. I will say
that's interesting. So you're going, but you're not like, this is the best thing I've ever
seen.
It's
good. I'm interested to see what happens.
Uh-huh.
You know, I keep calling her the dragon milf. It's a joke.
Yeah.
But the mother of dragons is a pretty badass chick. I like her a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And also Peter Dinklage is incredible. He's really good.
That's what I hear.
Love the character.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say it's one of the best female written shows I've ever seen.
Oh, are the writers mostly female?
No, what I mean is
in terms of the writing for the female characters.
Well, right off the bat, I noticed a lot of female direction.
Yeah.
And female writers.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed right in the beginning, you see it, you know,
right.
every time. And I'll tell you what, the females are written really well. And we do talk about that a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and I like most of the female characters the most.
Yeah.
And Peter Dinklage. So yeah,
I mean, it's going to come down to like if I am on a boat and
that's
I can't
thing.
Get
I,
off for
like
for
I said,
a week,
I had nothing to
you know?
Binge and I was like, you know what, let's do it. Let's start.
I
it
have
out.
So much on that list because and I it's know. Even you know like I really
I
for years I've
room.
Really wanted to do Fargo and one day I sat down and watched the first episode and I was like, this is great, but
so
I didn't have the time.
Season
right
two
then.
Is the best.
That's what I hear. I really have to do it. Well, here, speaking
of this, I probably spend 15 days a month in a hotel room.
Yeah, that's so. True. Speaking of this, you know, I've always said, yeah, I don't have a lot of time to go back and watch old movies. Yeah, I've told that story before, why there's a lot
right.
from the 21st or 20th century that I haven't seen. But after our 200th episode, and talking about older movies, none of us picked a year after 1999, so we were talking about a lot of movies from the 80s and the 90s. I thought, I've had enough. I got to start doing one,
I've
two
had
a week.
Enough.
Right. People around me have had enough. I got to start doing one or two a week. And so I started, and you talked about Face Off forever on that podcast. For no reason, we just got on a Nick Cage train.
Hey, don't get Robin and I going on Face Off.
Yeah.
We'll go Buck Wild on Face Off.
And I sat down and watched Face Off. It's pretty good. It's
a goofy, fun action movie.
Yeah, it's not like, oh, this is
way far-fetched.
It's not like, this is great cinema, but it's so ridiculous that it's like, yeah, I'm having a good time. I just watched American Werewolf in London, which you lent me the DVD like a year ago. That's great.
Top 10 horror movie of all time for me.
I should plug. That's the reason why is, hey, go listen to the Scarehouse podcast this week.
Yeah.
I'm on with Scott Simmons and Dudders, Katie, how do you actually pronounce her last name? Dudas? Dudders?
Yeah, Dudders.
It's Dudders.
I only know there's Katie Dudders.
Talking about our favorite horror movies.
Right.
And the only ones, because horror I have seen a lot of.
Right.
The only ones that either of them named that I hadn't seen were American Werewolf and The Howling I haven't seen.
Yeah, The Howling is...
It's a
step down from American Werewolf in London.
Yeah.
But it's good.
But I really liked American Werewolf. I love the first 30 minutes of American Werewolf is perfect.
So...
just them wandering into that pub and... so good.
Isn't it kind of terrifying?
Yeah.
And it really it makes you think, like, it reminds you of the, you know, well, the terrible, I do not like Eli Roth, but that, like, you know, American in London, in England, like,
yeah,
I'm a student. What do I do? Like the hostel kind of thing.
Oh, the number of, like, random streets I wandered down.
I know.
You know, and just some place that you wander into.
And you didn't
into.
See that movie, so you weren't scared.
I wasn't afraid.
Everyone that saw that movie thought twice about wandering.
I had seen Hostel, though, so I had that in my mind.
Yeah.
Like, maybe a rich man wants to kill me. but, you know, there's a couple movies that were the ones that seemed to outrage people the most that I hadn't seen. Blade Runner is one of them. Mm-hmm. I'm obviously going to watch that before the new one comes out. Lethal Weapon is one of them. People are really
shocked.
You got
to watch Blade Runner in a good setting. Make sure you put on the music.
Oh, yeah.
Turn up the music. I mean, dude, that soundtrack is one of my favorites.
Yeah. And another one, maybe the biggest one that upset people that I hadn't seen, was The Goonies.
Mm. This is extra butter.
A couple of years ago, I bought a DVD set with Goonies and Gremlins and Gremlins 2.
Great little
pickup.
Because
I was like, all right, let me get, because I hadn't seen any of them.
It's a good pickup.
About 6 months ago, I watched Gremlins.
The new batch.
I wasn't a giant fan of Gremlins. It was fun.
It's fun.
Yeah. I'm like, this isn't the best thing I've ever seen.
You could see it was a fun, campy romp in the 80s.
Right.
You know?
And then yesterday, I got home from work a little early. I was like, let's do it. I'm going to watch The Goonies.
Right.
And this is tough.
Go ahead.
Because I feel like people are going to break the door down. I hated it, Aaron.
Sean texted me two lines about this, and my responses were just LOL.
I could tell you didn't know.
I don't know what I still don't know what to say to you.
I think, and look, I did. I Googled right away. I Googled the phrase "The Goonies is a bad movie" to see what would come up, and a number of people said that. When you take an adult who didn't grow up with it and show it to them for the first time,
of
it's
course.
Like, no, this is a bad movie.
It's not a bad movie.
I think it's a bad movie.
Hold on. We already addressed that, you know, why you would have nostalgia for it.
Sure, like, that's a powerful thing.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw Clerks at you.
Right.
I don't like Clerks. I don't think Clerks is a terrible movie, but I think it's overrated. For you to say Goonies is overrated, and I get it why people like it as children, that's a good answer, Sean.
Okay.
Saying Goonies is a horrible movie is just, that's crazy.
Here, let me make my case.
Let me throw three names at you.
Okay.
Richard Donner, Steven Spielberg, and Chris Columbus.
Well, one.
They're all incredible filmmakers.
One, Chris Columbus is not an incredible filmmaker. Chris Columbus has Home Alone and Mrs. Doubtfire. Undoubtedly.
He wrote Gremlins, too.
Yeah, I know. undoubtedly, Home Alone and Mrs. Doubtfire, exactly perfect for his style.
He also wrote 9 Months.
There are way more bad Chris Columbus movies, like Pixels, bad.
Of course.
The Rent adaptation, bad. The worst two Harry Potter movies. Maybe not the... No, yeah. The worst... Well, the fourth one is... The worst two Harry Potter movies. Bicentennial Man.
Okay, you're
Step-mom,
talking about a dude...
9 Months.
Who took
Home Alone
Steven
2.
Steven Spielberg's dictation. And
yes.
And added some dialogue, probably.
Steven Spielberg, obviously. Not going to argue with you. Although I would note, he's not... He's credited as story. He's not the director or the writer here. The director is Richard Donner.
We know how Spielberg works. I mean,
sure.
I mean, he directed Poltergeist,
right?
I mean, we know how that works.
Yeah.
And this was back when, you know, before Steven Spielberg was just putting his names on projects.
Yeah,
you know, he was.
And Richard Donner is good.
Richard
I don't want to say
directed a lot of good things.
Yeah,
the
I don't want to say
Superman 2. Goonies, Lethal Weapon, Scrooged,
okay,
Radio Flyer, Maverick.
Here's the thing.
Good
that,
films.
The thing that started to sour me is from...
Yeah, you need to explain yourself.
Okay. From
God damn you, explain yourself.
From Jump Street, I hated all of them. I couldn't stand any of the kids.
Really?
Like, Corey Feldman, I was just like, you pompous little
shit.
Well,
that's the idea.
But not in like an endearing, like, hey, he's funny. Like, I was just like, shut the fuck up. A Chunk was like, stop screaming for one goddamn second.
You're an adult, of course.
Well, yeah, but I'm still Sean Astin's character. Mikey was fine. Mikey didn't bother me other than the fact that he hit his asthma thing every shot. And Martha Plimpton's character was fine. But the rest of them, including Short Round, like... I didn't like any of them. And then as soon as
That's
they
crazy,
get,
Sean.
As soon as they get to the attic.
They're such nice kids.
As soon as they're Goonies, Aaron.
Exactly.
As soon as they get to the
you're
attic.
You're one of them.
Well, yeah.
You're a Goonie, Sean, and you hate them. You're not Todd up at the top of the well.
Are you telling like the interesting point of contrast obviously is that I love Stranger Things. But
which is wouldn't exist without Monster Squad or Goonies.
I agree. But those kids, like, I
it's the same thing.
But no, they're not annoying shits. From the minute they get to the attic, they are screaming over each other. It's not
Troy's
even lines.
Troy's bucket.
They're screaming over each other for the rest of the
That's
movie.
That's all kids do.
Yeah, I know. It's not fun to watch. And then they're running through this thing that looks like...
You know what's so funny? That looks your whole complaint is just an old man who has to be a crossing guard at a school.
Yeah, just, that's not fun.
You were court-ordered to be a crossing guard at a school and you're mad about
but
it.
But look, movies from this era... Like, Stand By Me isn't those kids yelling over each other for 90 minutes.
Sure.
Home Alone isn't.
This is a pretty good adventure... Kid movie, it's treasure hunting.
Well, wait a minute.
Fantasy.
Wait a minute.
Action. It's funny,
not a treasure
it's
hunt.
It's creative.
They're walking through a double dare obstacle course that looks like the second best haunted house in town.
1985.
We've done a retro episode on Neverending Story, and Goonies made me appreciate Neverending Story a lot more because Neverending Story looks fucking boss.
Boring as shit.
Oh no, the one where an hour in, I was looking at my phone because
nonstop.
I did not care about the movie after an hour.
It's nonstop enjoyment.
Did not care at all. And yes, it's 1985, but look at Labyrinth and look at Neverending Story and Dark Crystal. Those were really impressive set design. This is like, Are You Afraid of the Dark? This is a 90-minute episode. 90-minute Are You Afraid of the Dark episode. And why? What are these bumbling asshole criminals doing? Like sub Home Alone pratfalls for an hour and a half.
It's for kids,
right?
I think Shrek is stupid.
Well, yeah,
it's
because
not for me.
But in evaluating it and saying, is this a good film? The answer is Shrek. No, it's not a good film. Kids are going to love it. That's the same. I'm sure if I saw it when I was 9, I would have chuckled my butt off and I would have nostalgia for it. Watching it now at 32 for the first time, I can sit back and say, this is not a good movie. This is just not, and like, you know that most of
I've rewatched it. It's a good movie.
But you saw it, but you're a little tainted because you grew up with it.
I'm not saying it should have been nominated for an Academy Award.
Yeah.
But it's a fun movie. It's fun.
I mean, I think overrated.
Pratfalls, who cares?
But it's not even clever. It's just like woo, 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 woo. It's not. There's nothing clever about the staging. It's like, oh, we're in the room with the piano now. Like, it's there. Oh my God! It
so
pissed
you have a
me
huge
off so much.
Gripe with Steven Spielberg, and Richard
I mean
Donner. I mean Steven Spielberg was the creative force behind this.
Yes. Like the music was good.
The music's actually pretty good.
There are a couple.
That's Alan Silvestri, I believe.
There's a couple of sequences that are fun.
It sounds like it's David Grushin. Grushin.
It's like it reminded me more of anything, and maybe this is it. It reminded me more of anything of bad live action.
He's now in Jimmy Fallon's music department.
Bad live action, like kids shows in the early 90s, like Nickelodeon, like Salute Your Shorts and all of that. And there's something to that because I'm sure in large part those things were modeled off of the Goonies. They were modeled off of the kids adventure movies of the 80s.
Because it was so good.
It was big. I know it was popular, clearly, with the love that everybody has for it. But look, you know that.
I mean, it's rated a 7.8 on IMDb.
But that's user votes. Look at all of the retro episodes we've done, and you know that I'm not usually saying this. Like, it's not like usually we go and see something that I've never seen before. I watch it for the first time, and I'm like, cranky man. Like, usually I'm like, oh, I get what the big deal is with this. Like, most of the time when I go back, everything else I've watched, I just told you that with Face Off, I was like, that was pretty good.
That's crazy. Like,
that's what I'm saying. I'm not really hard on old movies. I'm pretty light on them. And 30 minutes into this, I was like, man, I'm not having a good time.
I think we're going to have to just be there. We're just going to have to sit in this. And because that doesn't make any sense, Sean. For you to say it's really bad.
Really bad.
That's crazy. Nobody thinks that.
I think people think that. Hmm. I think there's a few.
Well, I would love for you guys to comment if you hate the Goonies.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get much.
I know. You know what I think we should do?
Huh.
Hey, Row House. I think we should do a week at Row House.
Oh, it'll sell.
We should do. Not even underrated.
Yeah.
Or overrated.
Yeah.
We're going to do Sean and Aaron hate these movies.
Okay.
Sean and Aaron hate these movies.
Yeah.
And it's something that people like, but we're like, you're an idiot. It's terrible.
But
that's
it has
our
to
next
be.
One. It's not even overrated.
How great would it have been if I had seen Goonies 3 years ago and had this reaction and could have put it in our Row House week instead of Crash?
Yeah, you would have helped out a little bit.
They would have made a whole lot of money. But anyway.
Well, there, we did it.
Yeah. So sorry. Hey, hit me up directly at Sean Collier PGH. If someone explains to me why I should love this, I want to hear that.
I did. I'm your good friend.
But everything you said, I disagreed with. If someone like gives me the secret code to it's really about FDR and the gold standard. Like, that's what I want to hear at this point. But, no, I want to hear from people. I enjoyed the Cyndi Lauper music video with all the wrestlers, where Captain Lou Albano is there,
asshole.
And they crawl into the thing, and then they summon Andre the Giant at the end to scare Roddy Piper off. That part that was fun on the DVD extras. On the DVD extras, that was good.
Oh, that's so funny.
That
video is pretty hilarious.
Yeah, it's good. It was. It's two videos. That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the same song, but they just did two of them. Like,
that's neat.
Yeah.
Well,
hit me up at Sean Collier PJ. Where are you going to be, Aaron?
This week is pretty exciting. Mm-hmm. If you're listening on the 18th, tomorrow night, Saturday, August 19th, will be the last stand-up Get Down stand-up comedy game show at Arcade Comedy Theater. Myself, Jason Clark host, DJ John Hancock, and we have a pretty dope lineup. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's our last one at 8:11
Liberty Avenue, Arcade Comedy Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have our next one in our new building at 943 Liberty Avenue, just a couple blocks away. And that'll be in October. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, looking forward to the arcade move.
Other than that, if you're in Wisconsin, the 25th and 26th, I'll be at the comedy club in Appleton, Wisconsin. It's,
yeah.
I'll be doing
Appleton, Wisconsin.
Yeah, and then, you know, September, I'll be going to South Bend, Indiana, and North Carolina, and New Jersey, and Delaware, and Oklahoma City, and Little Rock, Arkansas. I know, I'm going all over the place.
Find Aaron at all those places. I'll remind you to get your tickets now for the next WDVE Loaded Show at Club Cafe. That is September 9th, and I'll tell you, every one of these in 2017 has sold out. We have never had tickets at the door, so don't wait. Norlex Belma, Ed Bailey, Colin Chamberlain, John Dick Winters, Blair Parker, Jesse Irvin, Derek Minto, and a guest set from Osha Dwyer. She's coming up.
Really funny young lady.
Yeah. Always a great show. This is a great lineup. I didn't even notice that this is a little bit more the Young Guns show.
Yeah.
That we have Colin in there. Norlex is still a younger guy. Osha's in there. This is kind of the millennial edition.
Like it. Yeah, it is.
Millennial Force.
Yeah,
Loaded
like
show, Millennial Force. ClubCafeLive.com for your tickets. I'm going to work on my cardio so I can run away from Goonies fans.
Oh, my God. Sean.
Yeah.
You...
Captain Chunk, huh? Yeah, cute.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
All right. The Hitman's Bodyguard, what's your rating?
Oh, yeah. 7. Sure.
I'll go with a 7.
Yeah. It's nothing. Look, you're not gonna be putting it on your best films of the year in a couple of months, but it's a good time.
Please go on Facebook and is the word lambast?
Yeah, that'll do.
Yeah, lambast.
Skewer
Sean Collier.
Hey, just give me something to do.
Tell him Fratelli sent you.